I'm George Stevens, and I'm a person. I was held as property as a child. Even before my birth, I was called a slave in an America you wouldn't recognize. But folks like you helped me escape north to freedom. And in 1864, I joined the infantry to fight for my country. I fought so all slaves would be recognized as persons, not property. And we won. But today in Colorado, there are still people called property. Children, just like I was. And that America you thought you wouldn't recognize is all around you. And these children are being killed. This November, vote yes on Amendment 62. Amendment 62 declares unborn children persons, not property. And that's the America I fought for. So visit personhoodcolorado.com. And in November, vote yes on 62. It's the right thing to do.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another edition of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, software engineer and creation speaker.
And Fred, you're also the webmaster for the esteemed Creation Research Society.
And indeed I am, but today we're going to talk about a bird's head and a bullet train.
A bird's head and a bullet train? You mean like in Japan, those bullet trains?
Yeah, those bullet trains that go really, really fast.
So what's the last thing that goes through a bird's mind when he hits a bullet train?
What's that, Bob?
His feet.
His feet? Okay.
Sorry. Actually, we're in the Creation magazine from Australia, creation.com. And this current issue has an article about Japan's bullet train. Fred, they really fly. They go at 200 miles an hour. And when they come out of their tunnels at those speeds, they make a very loud noise. It sounds like thunder hit.
That's right.
People don't like that.
They don't like that. I tell you what, it sounds like this might be designed based off of some principle in nature.
We see this a lot, don't we? What is it called? The science of biomimetics?
Biomimetics, it's reverse engineering. That's the way I look at it.
Reverse engineering, biomimetics, where they look at the way God designed animals and they copy from that these sophisticated designs. So the guy in Japan who's the chief engineer for their bullet train, he asked himself, well, is there anything in nature that travels quickly and smoothly between two very different environments? And he thought of something, right?
What he did. Well, he's an avid bird watcher.
Mm-hmm. Which came in handy.
It did in this particular case.
Yeah. And turns out that there's some kind of a kingfisher bird that must be called a kingfisher because it's so good at fishing. It dives through the air, and of course, birds hit tremendous speeds when they're diving through the air. And when they enter water, they create very little splash. And so this chief engineer thought, you know, I'm going to design the head of our trains, the engine, to be shaped like that bird's head. And Fred, he did it, and the results are absolutely stunning. They've got better performance, right?
They did. 15% less electricity was used, and this is even while it's traveling 10% faster.
So the train is not only quieter, it uses 15% less energy. That's big. And it travels 10% faster. God is an amazing designer.
Oh, it's amazing. And the magazine offers a picture of these trains if you get a chance to look at this. Go on the internet. They look like birds' heads, kind of, don't they?
They really do. They look like birds. And they look beautiful. So kudos to God.
Kudos to God on another one.
God did another great job. And, you know, Real Science Friday is brought to you by God, maker of heaven and earth, and other fine products.
That's right.
So this is another great example of the Lord's creative genius.
Indeed it is.
Yeah.
Well, the next article.
And it all happened by chance.
Over billions and billions millions and millions of years.
You see, that kingfisher was a lousy fisher. That was his name originally. That bird was called Lousy Fisher.
He evolved from Lousy Fisher to Kingfisher.
Yeah,
he used to dive down and do a belly flop, I bet.
Yeah, he did. And his head was like a brick. And he'd hit, and it would split his skull. It was really bad for eons.
Yeah.
And eventually, he evolved the perfect form to dive from the air into the water.
But it happened rapidly because we don't find a lot of fossils of brick-headed birds.
That's right. We don't. That's true. We don't, do we?
We don't. So it had to happen rapidly in a small population somewhere where nobody could witness it so we could concoct this story.
Yes. Okay, now, speaking about concocting a story, the evolutionists, Fred, they used to make fun of us because we talk about the way animals dispersed over the globe after the flood, Noah's flood. And actually, we know that when the sea level was lowered just a few hundred feet, most of the land masses on Earth were all connected.
That's right. And that could easily explain the wildlife that we see spread across the globe.
Right. And typically emanating from the Middle East.
That's right.
Where you have the greatest variety of mammals. And human civilization, of course, began in the Middle East in the Fertile Crescent. And so Mount Ararat and Noah's Ark landing and all that. But so we understand how most of the animals dispersed around the world, but there are islands like Madagascar, other islands, and they have, amazing animals on them. And before man got there, so how did those animals get there? What have creationists always said?
Well, we said it was, based on some evidence that there was floating vegetation mats that could provide this mechanism.
Floating vegetation mats, log mats, especially after the flood.
That's right.
Because after the flood, during the flood, there were billions, would it be trillions, of trees that were destroyed and plants. And so, floating log mats, floating vegetation rafts, and animals, reptiles, whatever, would climb on board because there'd be thousands of trees and branches and bark all bunched up because of currents, and they just go out like they were on land, and then they find themselves in the sea, and they float, and they get off on an island.
I wonder if they had a soccer ball with a face on it as company.
What was the name of that movie?
Our producer just said it's Castaway.
Castaway.
Thank you.
That is funny. Okay.
But anyways, so the evolutionists have a problem with a kind of snake, a blind snake. These things apparently are pretty ugly. They look like earthworms.
Yeah.
And they think from their evolutionary timeline and things they've looked at genetics-wise, they think they originated in India or Madagascar.
Okay.
But there's a problem. These things live all over the earth.
So how did they get from Madagascar, for example, where they think they might have originated, how did they get to everywhere else?
Well, the evolutionists think maybe they got there by floating on, these log mats.
Fred. Yeah, they made fun of us saying that's impossible.
But now they're using that as their explanation for how these...
Including Penn State University biology professor Blair Hedges and others, they're saying, look... why not? Why couldn't the snake get on some floating flotsam and float to the mainland? And they're saying that it's perfectly understandable. And, I think it is, but they sure made fun of creationists when we pointed out that was one of the mechanisms to disperse animals around the world.
Yeah, I'm sure he got rebuked by some of his fellow evolutionists who are on those forums on the internet and laughing at us for making these claims.
Yeah, but of course, this is reported in National Geographic, Science Daily, Biology Letters, so it's a great story. Okay, now, Fred, I'd like to talk about small dogs for a moment.
Okay.
Small dogs, because small dogs, dogs are fascinating. There's an article in here about purebred dogs, and over in England, where they have a real rigid system that you have to be purebred to enter into these dog shows, and it's a disaster because these dogs, their health is deteriorating so rapidly because the Germans could not have been more wrong with their eugenics. If you constrain the gene pool for reproduction, you end up becoming increasingly unhealthy.
Yep, it's unnatural selection.
unnatural selection. And so dogs, we've got all these pure breeds, and it turns out that's not healthy. And they're urging dog breeders to stop doing that and don't breed closely related dogs and introduce other dog genetic diversity into the breed and all that, which is all good. But this story looks at a certain gene found in all small dogs all over the world. And Fred, guess where they say that gene originated?
And where's that?
The Middle East.
The Middle East, huh?
Just
surprise.
Just like civilization, right? Where did civilization begin? Well, where was Abraham born? In Ur of the Chaldees. And the oldest city in the world, Jericho. And these extraordinary finds, because that Fertile Crescent between the Tigris and the Euphrates River, which, by the way, were named for rivers before the flood that flowed out of the Garden of Eden, that's where Noah's Ark, his family, that's where they began to live and populate the earth.
Now, who made this assessment? Were they creation scientists?
No. For one, you could find out about this in ABC News. But no, this is University of California, and this is typical. You know, the Bible's account of history is confirmed by 10,000 scientific observations and thousands of historical and archaeological observations.
Yeah, over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, I used to actually breed Alaskan Malamutes, and because of the problem you talk about, they have a hip dysplasia defect that's fairly common, especially as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it plays into the whole, you know, the way they limit the gene pool.
Yeah.
And you've got these, and I don't want to get technical, but the recessive mutations, but, you know, they're allowed to, the duplicate genes that provide some protection.
Right.
So you have one good gene, one bad. The one good one almost always masks the bad one. But when you got both animals have both the bad ones.
Because they're closely related.
They're closely related.
You get mutations.
You're going to get the mutation to manifest itself.
That's why God said that closely related people cannot marry. Because then you'd have kids that are more likely to be hurt. And so people say, like I heard an unbeliever say on the radio yesterday in Denver, well, what if it's a brother and sister and they're not going to reproduce? They just want to get married. And so the reason God prohibited that is because God wants to establish boundaries that are reinforced by our culture that protect children. And so if you say, well, brother and sister could get married as long as what? They use a condom or something? It's so disgusting. And so then you break down that boundary, and then you will have children conceived from siblings, and those kids will be maimed or even lethal mutations.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, it wasn't a problem when Adam and Eve were created, right?
No, the genetics were perfect.
Yeah, there was no genetic load. There wasn't a lot of mutations built up.
Exactly.
But they did build up over time. And and then after the flood, there's what was called a genetic bottleneck, and it was soon after that God outlawed close relations.
Mm-hmm. Fred, how about this article about footprints?
Oh, okay.
Footprints left a long time ago.
This one really kind of cracks me up. So I like how evolutionists, they do these funny experiments to try to prove certain theories.
Mm-hmm.
So they found these footprints that they claim in their time scale are about 3.6 million years old. And they attributed them to Lucy. A lot of people have heard of Lucy, right?
Right.
Man's supposed ancestor.
Yeah, the little chimp. She's a little chimp.
When
you look at her, she's just like 3 feet tall or so, and she's a little chimp. And they said that we evolved. She was in our evolutionary pathway.
Despite the fact that she's remarkably similar to a modern-day bonobo.
Yeah, and that her inner ear, they did a CAT scan, and this is evolutionist scientist, and said, no, she didn't walk upright. Her inner ear is oriented in such a way that she was a crawler. She walked on all fours.
Yep. So, you know, these footprints date about the time that they think Lucy lived. So they say Lucy left those footprints. So what they did was they had people walk in the sand and walk normal like humans. And then they had these humans walk like chimpanzees.
Yeah,
that'd have been funny to see this.
They told them, okay, now we want you to crouch down and walk like chimpanzees walk. And they had the people walk in sand, right? Because the footprints were left in sand, and then they fossilized, which is funny, because when you walk on a beach, your footprints don't remain for centuries until they turn into stone.
That's right.
So fossils are almost all formed from the flood, for the most part, around the world.
Yeah, rapidly.
Yeah, but so what happened when the humans walked across sand?
Well, the researchers said that they were amazed that they were identical to modern human footprints.
Identical. They were identical to humans walking normally. They were just identical.
That's right.
And so that's more evidence. It's funny. The evolutionists see something and they say, oh, Australopithecus was walking here. And we're like, why Australopithecus? Why not a person? Well, look at the footprints. And so then they have people do it and it looks exactly like human footprints.
That's right. So I guess there's a human walking around the same time of the person that they were supposed to have evolved from.
Yeah. Hey, Fred, Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship had a speaker about a year ago or so about the human footprints in Texas, Glen Rose, Texas, the Paluxy River Basin. He did such a fabulous job. That was so totally interesting, that presentation. But they're meeting tonight, right?
They are meeting tonight. And that speaker, by the way, is Don Patton. Tonight we have Mr. Jim Burr. And his talk is going to be, he's an amateur astronomer,
mm-hmm.
and his talk is on the Hubble, the Bible, and the Big Bang, and he's the inventor of the JMI telescope. I guess he's pretty well known in that sphere.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And he's talking about the Hubble and the Big Bang, and we've got history on those issues. I remember when the Hubble deep field image was going to be publicized, and I went on the air saying, look, all the evolutionists think we're going to see the first galaxies forming, it's going to look just like we're looking right next door.
That was your prediction.
That was my prediction before it was published by NASA. It's published by NASA, and after these years now of analyzing the photos, it's just like looking at galaxies next door.
That's right.
Right, because some galaxies did not evolve billions of years before others. That's not true.
Well, and you know, that's the way science is supposed to work, Bob. You made a prediction before the evidence was known, and then we saw it. We got the facts, and the facts matched the prediction.
Yeah, but Fred, how did I outpredict NASA with their budget? I mean, they have all these astrophysicists.
And all
billions
this,
of dollars.
And you are smarter than them because you trust the guy who was actually there, the eyewitness.
That's right. That's right. When you have truth on your side, it's fun. And so here's a Bible-thumping talk radio program, and we could outpredict NASA, which is common. I mean, Walt Brown, I follow his science work closely. He outpredicts the evolutionist, NASA, the geologist, every day of the week. It is so fun to see.
Yes.
Okay, so next story, how about they found something in France, and they're rethinking the notions about Stone Age man. Remember that article?
Is this the surgery? Stone Age surgery?
Yeah.
So what's that all about? So they were cutting into people in the Stone Age? I thought these guys were like the Geico commercial, eight men running around. They're kind of dumb.
That's right. Human beings were created in God's image and likeness, and we've not been getting smarter. We've been deteriorating, so now we only use a small sliver of our brain. Fred, if evolution were true, then why would we modern Homo sapiens, why would we have evolved a brain that we only use 10% of? It's just ridiculous. I mean, no matter what you look at, you see that evolution is a lie and that God created us and his word is true. So in this case, they dig up an elderly man discovered in an ancient tomb in France. And this old guy has forced archaeologists to rethink their evolutionary ideas about Stone Age man. Now, they're still evolutionists, but they thought that, you know, Stone Age man, and they think this guy is maybe about 7,000 years old, that, you know, they were dragging women around by the hair. Well, they probably did that, I imagine. But they were saying things like, fire, fire, you know. And it turns out that they were advanced even medically. Forensic scientist Philip Charlier said that the left forearm of the man had been surgically amputated and the patient was anesthetized and the wound was cleaned afterwards in sterile conditions. This is by a forensic scientist who's studying the skeleton after the fact, the way a forensic scientist might do, trying to figure out who murdered somebody.
This sounds like a different picture than I saw when I watched Night at the Museum, and they had those ancient man grunting around. Oh, ooh,
right, right.
And
it's,
you know,
so different, right?
It's amazing. I mean, there's,
and they say this guy survived the operation, although he did suffer from osteoarthritis. So I feel sorry for the guy. Hopefully he believed in the Creator God, and he's with the Lord right now.
That's right.
Hopefully. Okay, so Fred, could we go on to our next story, which...
It's related to this last one. Again, it's some technology well before its time, at least if you're an evolutionist.
Mm.
So it looks like they discovered an ancient textile factory.
Now, this is in the Republic of Georgia, which is...
Is that right next to the Republic of Florida?
Yeah, that's where Atlanta is. You know, if you go to Purgatory, you have to stop in Atlanta on the way. Georgia, this is in Eastern Europe. This is the Georgia that was part of the Soviet Union.
Yes.
Right? And so in the Republic of Georgia, their archaeologists are in a cave, and they're looking at in the cave for artifacts, and lo and behold, they found quite a few. And Fred, they dated these by carbon-14 dating. And they say that these are 30,000 years old. Now, they're not. We know that. But based on their dating, these are 30,000 years old. And that's before they claim civilization evolved.
That's right. So these would be, what, pretty primitive cave people?
Yeah.
These would be some really serious grunters.
Yeah, before the division of labor, before markets were developed, you know, the free market and how that functions and all capitalism. This would be before all that. And here's what they found out, that these people were weaving fibers, so cloth. They were cutting them. They were dyeing them turquoise, gray, black, and pink.
Wow.
Pink. So to have dye, I mean, this shows that they were sophisticated and they were part of a sophisticated culture. And even until the last few decades, we spent 3 weeks in Turkey. Modern Turks lived in caves. I mean, if you live where there are caves, it's convenient to live in them sometimes.
Yeah, sure. You know, it's raining out, you go in a cave.
Yeah, right.
It's coverage.
Yeah.
So, man, it sounds like
shelter,
man has always been intelligent. Intelligent.
Yeah, exactly. And so...
Inventive.
Yeah. And so they have to... They have to twist all, every time they find something, Fred, not every time, it's a figure of speech, but 1,000 times over, they say, well, this really messes up our timetable because we didn't think this. You know, the Bible describes the first convert in Europe to Christianity as a seller of purple. She sold purple dye. That was her job. That was her career. Her name was Lydia. And Lydia and Paul, when he went to Philippi, he wrote the letter to the Philippians. It's in the book of Acts. She was a seller of purple. So for these guys to be weaving fabric and to dye some of it turquoise, well, somebody had to collect turquoise dye, pink dye, gray dye, and they had to sell it to the textile factory. And that's what was going on.
So again, a technology way before its time. Totally contradictory to the evolutionary worldview.
Yeah.
And like you said, over and over again, countless times, we're finding evidence that overturns their their historic worldview.
Yeah, whereas the Bible is affirmed. I've been studying since 1973 the Bible, history, archaeology, language, science. It is so fun to see how the world is filled with evidence that God's word is true. And then, overwhelmingly, that Jesus Christ is the Savior who was raised from the dead, so that if we believe in him, we trust in him, he forgives our sins, and we can live forever.
Yeah, like you said, it really is fun to have truth on your side over and over again.
Yeah.
Another one that I think is great is this single-celled irony.
A single-celled irony. Wait a minute, it sounds like our personhood amendment.
It does somewhat.
It does. Because the human organism from the first living cell, that's either a boy or a girl.
Yes.
So there's an article about a single-celled human
organism?
Yes,
there is. And if you think about Jesus, the New Testament, I mean, it clearly implies that he was in the womb for 9 months, right?
Oh, that's right. Because Mary, even though there was an immaculate fertilization or conception when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and the Holy Spirit completed the genetic complement of one of Mary's ovums, so that Jesus fulfilled prophecy that he was from David's body, from Abraham's body, from way back to Adam and Eve, Jesus then lived for 9 months in Mary's womb.
Yeah, so he began his journey on earth as man's savior. He began as a single cell?
As a single cell. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
And so he didn't become the Son of God in the third trimester. The incarnation happened at that first moment when God the Son became flesh in Mary's womb. And so for all Christians, they should be able to humble themselves before God, his majesty, and his word, and recognize from that first moment, that spark of life in mom, that is a new human being, and God the Son became man in Mary's womb.
And that's right, and that's it's a miracle. And so what's the irony here, Bob?
What's the irony? The irony.
Irony of a single cell and a miracle. What's
irony? Irony. That women do most of the ironing? No. Oh, wait. Oh, I know, because evolutionists, they deny that. They say that's a lie. They believe that the first single cell evolved by random chance out of inanimate matter. It's just bizarre.
It's bizarre. It's remarkable how complex the cell is. Well, there is an evolutionist, a famous one. His name was Francis Crick. He discovered DNA.
Hmm.
And it's interesting what he said about the origin of the first cell.
Yeah, what did he say about that? Because, of course, it's absurd. Because we know a cell is as complicated as what? A Boeing 747.
It's actually space, far more complicated.
Far more complicated. It's like a city.
Well, he said an honest man, armed with the knowledge available to us now, could only state that in some sense the origin of life appears at the moment to be almost a miracle.
Almost a miracle. So many are the conditions which would have to be satisfied to get that first single cell going. And so those who say, well, Jesus could not have been implanted in Mary's womb, that's impossible, they believe the awesome complexity of life appeared on earth spontaneously by accident. And
yeah,
it had no natural selection to boost it along the way, because there's no reproduction until you get that first living cell.
And again, with us having the facts and the truth on our side, it takes a far greater faith for them to believe that than to believe
that there's a creator God who made us. Thank you, Fred Williams. Appreciate that. Tonight's meeting, Rocky Mount Creation Fellowship.
That's right. At Wadsworth and 20th Bethlehem Church.
All right. That'll
7 o'clock.
That'll be great. And check out mycampaigntracker.org and come on out for Lit Drops.